This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Imagine stepping into your quarterly review. You know, you just authorized like $50,000 a month in ad spend.
Right, a huge chunk of change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you did it just to ensure your company ranks at the absolute top of the search engine results. You walk in expecting this hero is welcome.
But I'm guessing that's not what happens.
Not even close. Instead, your sales director just slides over a report showing a pipeline full of, well, garbage leads, just automated bot clicks.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's rough.
Because your high-value corporate buyers, they aren't even using those traditional search engines anymore. They're asking AI bots these really complex questions, and those bots are actively ignoring your expensive, optimized website. The 50 grand, it just
evaporated, yeah.
Totally evaporated.
It is a sobering scenario. And I mean, it is playing out in boardrooms across the country this morning because the mechanisms that businesses have relied on for, you know, the past decade to acquire corporate clients, they're fundamentally breaking down.
Breaking down under the weight of AI and all these new privacy shifts.
Yeah.
Well, welcome in, everyone. Today, we are on a mission for you. We really want you to figure out how to stop burning that marketing budget.
Yeah, it's time to stop the bleeding.
So we are diving into how B2B marketing is radically shifting right now in 2026. And we're pulling our insights from this really detailed breakdown by Joe Medico at Double Dome Digital Marketing.
Really great piece.
It is. It's called Thought Leadership Campaign, Scale B2B Pipeline Leads. And what I love is that this isn't just some article pointing out that the sky is falling. You know,
right. It's not just doom and gloom.
It's an actual blueprint for acquiring high-paying corporate clients in a landscape where traditional search is just becoming totally obsolete.
What's fascinating here is what makes Medico analysis stand out so much. It's the focus on the architectural mechanics. Like, okay. We aren't just looking at surface-level trends here. We are unpacking the actual mathematical and behavioral realities of why the old direct response model is cratering so spectacularly for, you know, these growth-focused executives.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the frustration of that traditional B2B playbook, it's just the nightmare for executives right now is very real.
Oh, absolutely.
You launch direct response ads, you're buying all these traffic streams, you pay for keyword optimization, and the inbound pipeline is still just wildly unpredictable.
Unpredictable and messy.
So messy. Sales teams are just drowning in low-quality forms, filtering out absolute junk, and you are left wondering if you're actually buying customers or just like funding an agency's overhead.
Yeah. Medico actually has a line in the text that perfectly captures this feeling.
Oh, the bucket quote.
Yes. He writes, "Many websites collect leads the way a bucket collects water after someone forgot to put the bottom in."
It's such a great analogy. It's like renting an apartment versus owning a house.
Yeah.
Transactional ad, you're just renting a market space that you can be evicted from the second you stop paying.
Exactly. It's a really vivid description of the systemic failure we are seeing. So to understand why that bucket is leaking, the source provides this framework. They call it the B2B pipeline evolution matrix.
Okay, a matrix.
Yeah. And if we visualize this matrix, we can see exactly where traditional advertising breaks down. So picture a grid, right?
Got it in my head.
The horizontal axis represents the buyer's journey. So starting on the far left, where a prospect is completely unaware they even have a problem.
Right.
And moving all the way to the right, where they are actively comparing vendor prices.
Right. And then the vertical axis would be the relationship dynamic, I'm assuming.
Spot on.
Down at the bottom, you are viewed as just a transactional vendor, like a commodity. But up at the top, you are a trusted strategic advisor.
Exactly. So when you look at the matrix that way, the vulnerability of traditional direct response ads, it just becomes super obvious.
So they just dump you at the bottom, right?
Yes. Those campaigns dump you aggressively into the bottom right corner of the grid. You are intercepting a client who has already diagnosed their own problem, defined their own parameters, and they're simply looking for the cheapest option.
It's like trying to hand out promotional flyers at the finish line of a marathon. Instead of, I don't know, sponsoring the training camp 6 months earlier.
That's exactly what it is.
By the time that prospect clicks your ad, you are instantly forced into this brutal price war. You aren't advising them on how to solve their problem at all. You are just another line item on a procurement spreadsheet.
Yeah, and the pipeline close velocity in that bottom right quadrant, I mean, it might seem fast on paper.
Because they're ready to buy.
Right. but it is incredibly defensive for your sales reps. They are constantly forced to justify your profit margins against, like, way cheaper competitors.
Because you haven't built any value.
Exactly, because your brand hasn't established any unique value beyond popping up in a search feed at that exact moment. It is literally a race to the bottom.
Okay, so if fighting for late-stage buyers at the finish line is just a losing game, then we have to intercept these enterprise buyers on the left side of that matrix, right?
Right.
Early on, before they even know the exact name of the problem they are facing. But, I mean, how do you capture a buyer who isn't even searching for a vendor yet?
Well, you have to shift from a transactional ad model to an engineered authority ecosystem.
Engineered authority.
Yeah. The source outlines a transition toward a structured thought leadership campaign. The whole goal is to capture high-intent enterprise buyers early in their research phase, allowing you to frame the technical problem for them.
Okay, so Medico actually maps out a specific four-part structural system to achieve this.
He does.
And it starts with what he calls the core information asset.
Which is key.
And this goes way beyond a standard, you know, 500-word blog post. We were talking about building a deeply researched proprietary resource based on data you just can't find anywhere else.
Right, like a complex digital diagnostic tool or a massive data-driven architectural guide. It has to be something really heavy.
Heavy, yeah.
The gravity of the asset is totally non-negotiable. It must possess enough inherent, undeniable value that a cynical enterprise decision maker is actually willing to exchange their verified contact information to access it.
Right.
You're basically trading profound insight for access to their inbox.
But building a massive diagnostic tool, I mean, that creates a new obstacle.
How so?
You have this incredible asset sitting on your server, right? But how do you get a busy CEO to actually look at it without wasting tens of thousands of dollars just blasting it to the entire internet?
Right. This is where precision paid distribution comes into play. That's the second pillar.
Okay.
Instead of broad keyword targeting, you use highly targeted paid channels to place this specific asset directly onto the virtual desks of vetted corporate decision makers. You eliminate all that broad traffic waste.
Okay, so once they see it, the mechanical reality of lead generation just kind of takes over. That's part three, right?
Exactly, the low-friction capture architecture.
Sure, right. If a high-value prospect decides they actually want your core information asset, they cannot hit a wall of friction. The capture architecture has to be flawless.
Completely seamless. No confusing layout shifts, no broken mobile pages.
The path to download has to be instantaneous.
Because the moment they download that asset, they enter the fourth and most critical phase of the entire architecture.
The nurture sequence.
Right. The 60 to 90 day automated nurture sequence. This is an integrated email and content system that feeds the prospect deeper technical context, proprietary data, real world case studies, and it does this over a multi-month period.
Okay, I really want to play devil's advocate here, though.
Sure, go for it.
A 60 to 90 day automated sequence. Like, think about a growth-focused executive who has a board breathing down their neck.
And they want results yesterday.
Exactly. They want to show a return on investment this quarter. Telling them they need to wait 3 months for a lead to mature. I mean, doesn't that feel incredibly slow?
It does. I mean, it feels slow to a mindset conditioned by the instant gratification of that old direct response loop. But the source provides a really fantastic analogy to kind of reframe this anxiety.
Okay, what is it?
Medico writes, SEO is more like planting an orchard than buying groceries. The payoff can be substantial, but nobody gets apples tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Planting an orchard versus buying groceries, that makes so much sense.
Right.
When you run those bottom quadrant transactional ads, you're just buying groceries.
Mm-hmm.
You get to eat today, but the pantry is completely empty again tomorrow, and you just have to go buy more.
Exactly. But when you plant the orchard, you build an asset that yields systematically. So let's look at the mechanics of that 90-day nurture sequence.
Okay.
In week one, the prospect might receive a deep dive into the methodology behind the diagnostic they just took. Then, by week four, maybe they're watching a video walkthrough of a case study solving their exact bottleneck. By week eight, they receive an interactive ROI calculator. Over those 3 months, you are systematically moving them toward a sales conversation simply by proving your technical authority.
So by the time they actually speak to a human on your sales team, They're already indoctrinated into your proprietary way of thinking.
Yes, they trust your process.
And your sales team doesn't have to defend the price because your brand is the one that defined the parameters of the problem in the first place.
Exactly. It creates this very low friction sales environment. However, I will say this entire orchard analogy relies on one massive assumption.
Which is?
That your target audience can actually find your core asset in the modern digital landscape.
And here is where it gets really interesting. And honestly, a bit terrifying. We touched on this at the very beginning of the deep dive. Having a brilliant ecosystem is totally useless if an AI bot summarizes the answer to a buyer's question before they ever click through to your domain. Like, if a logistics CEO opens ChatGPT or Google Gemini and just types, "Why is my supply chain stalling in Q3? The AI just summarizes an answer directly on the screen.
There are no blue links to click.
Exactly. No links.
This is the existential threat for marketing departments today. The traditional approach to generic SEO was essentially just to write a slightly better version of what already existed out there.
It was literally like copying someone else's homework. You take a Wikipedia article, you spin it five different ways, stuff some keywords in, and just hope the search engine rewards you.
And that used to work. But conversational AI models, they operate like incredibly sophisticated teachers.
Yeah.
They instantly recognize copied homework.
Do you know?
They absolutely know. They flag thin, generic text as boilerplate promotional noise, and they filter it out entirely. They do not care about self-reported advertising taglines claiming you are, like, the leading provider.
Right, because everyone says that.
Yeah.
So how do you force the AI to notice you, then? If standard text is ignored, what are these models actually looking for?
Well, they crave what the source calls unstructured data webs.
Unstructured data webs.
Yeah, AI models scrape these vast oceans of unstructured information. So white papers, forums, complex market reports. And they are looking for unique, verifiable signals. But there's a huge translation challenge here.
Okay.
To confidently cite your specific business value out of all that unstructured noise, the AI needs a Rosetta Stone. It needs you to organize your proprietary insights in a way it natively understands.
Ah, okay. So we have to bridge the gap between our complex human ideas and the AI's processing logic. I imagine this is where the technical layer comes in.
It is.
The text mentions advanced JSON-LD schema marks. And my hypothesis here is that JSON-LD acts like a machine-readable barcode. You slap this barcode onto your proprietary data tables or verified case metrics, and it translates those complex concepts directly into the AI's native vocabulary.
That barcode analogy hits the mark perfectly. JSON-LD structures the data so the retrieval bots don't have to guess what your page is about. So when you combine unique data, what the source calls high information gain, with this structural barcode, something really powerful happens.
Like what?
Well, if your logistics company publishes a verified data table showing, say, Q3 Pacific shipping delays versus freight costs, and that data exists nowhere else on the internet, and you structure it with JSON-LD, you literally force the AI to pay attention.
Because you are giving the AI something it literally cannot find anywhere else to fulfill the user's prompt.
Exactly. You become the original source material. And when you provide that high information gain, the AI models cite your business natively inside their summaries.
Oh, wow.
The source refers to this as achieving preferred answer status.
Preferred answer status. So instead of fighting to be a blue link on a page nobody scrolls down to see, your brand is fundamentally embedded in the AI's final answer.
They're just baked right in.
The machine literally tells the corporate buyer, based on the raw data, this firm is the definitive regional solution.
Yes. Earning preferred answer status is a massive competitive advantage right now. But even once the AI cites you and the prospect enters your 90-day nurture sequence, you still face this final executive hurdle.
Oh, I know what this is. Proving to the board of directors that this entire complex machine actually drives revenue.
Exactly. The modern era of privacy blockers and, you know, cookie deprecation has made tracking return on investment incredibly opaque.
Because browsers are actively blocking the trackers that marketers used to rely on.
Right. It's a huge problem.
It's the black box of ad spend. Standard campaigns today offer just a nightmare of platform vanity indicators. You get a monthly report showing like thousands of impressions and click-through rates, but internal marketing teams have to play data detective to figure out if any of those clicks actually turned into real dollars.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
And it drains strategic resources.
Mm-hmm.
So to solve this, the source points to a technical standard called server-side offline conversion tracking, or OCI for short.
OCI, okay.
This bypasses the blind spots created by browser privacy blockers.
Right, because OCI doesn't rely on the user's browser at all. Instead of hoping a tracking cookie survives the journey, your CRM is securely pinging the ad platform's API directly.
Yes, exactly.
It sends a message from your secure server to their server saying, hey, that lead from 90 days ago, they just hit a contract milestone and signed a $100,000 deal.
Right. And it provides honest, auditable reporting. By routing those real contract milestone values directly back to the dashboard, you connect your digital investments straight to your gross profit margins.
Medico points out the ultimate metric for success here, and I think it is so refreshing for anyone who is just tired of all the marketing jargon.
Oh, yeah.
The goal is a dashboard that clearly states, I spent X, and our systems made Y.
It's plain and simple.
Total transparency. No more agencies hiding their poor close rates behind, you know, abstract excuses about algorithm updates.
Right. You transform the marketing department from a speculative expense into a predictable revenue engine. When you combine the SOT leadership campaign with that secure server-side tracking, you construct an automated system that operates totally independently of shifting search habits.
So what does this all mean for you, you know, navigating this landscape in 2026? Synthesizing this whole journey, the core takeaway is that scaling a business today is entirely about building a competitive moat.
You need a moat.
You cannot survive a transactional price war. You cannot just rent clicks and fight for late-stage buyers at the finish line anymore. You have to establish absolute market authority through deep, proprietary data assets that AI models crave and that your prospects implicitly trust.
And it is also vital to remember that you do not have to architect this technical transition in a vacuum.
Right, you don't have to build it all yourself.
No, partners like DoubleDome exist to serve as that technical backbone. They standardize the conversion tracking infrastructure, they implement the JSON LD schemas, and they set up the server-side OCI.
They handle the heavy lifting.
Exactly, they handle the engineering so that executives can focus purely on organizational scale. Authority drives revenue, but you need the rigorous systems in place to actually capture and measure that authority.
There is a final thought I want to leave you with, something to chew on that really jumped out to me while we were unpacking this ecosystem.
Oh.
Yeah. If we follow this logic out, like if AI models like ChatGPT and Gemini only reward high information gain and they completely ignore generic recycled text, what happens to the internet in 5 years? Think about it. If every major B2B company realizes this and they all start building thought leadership campaigns filled with proprietary data, will the next marketing arms race be fought entirely offline?
Wow, that's a fascinating proposition because if the AI is starving for unique data, the digital battleground basically shifts to the physical world.
Yes, will companies have to start inventing completely new physical technologies or launching wild real-world scientific experiments purely to generate fresh original data points just to feed the AI?
The companies that can manufacture the most interesting reality might be the only ones who survive digitally.
Exactly. Earning that visibility isn't about search optimization anymore. It is about the physical data you own and create. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. As you look at your own pipeline this week, ask yourself, are you just buying groceries? Or are you finally ready to plant the orchard? We'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at DoubleDome.com to set up a free consultation.